Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. MSNBC reporting that in New Jersey, turnout is enormous, huge, surpassing the 2018 midterms, and that maybe, according to a lot of the voters exiting polls that they have been talking to, they've had a lot of people identify as a Trump voter in 2024 that regrets their vote, that they're voting for Mikey Sherrill today, the economy, immigration driving thing, taxes, a big question. And that to me is a fascinating one, right? When you hear the word taxes, typically that's an issue that'll break for Republicans under what I'm going to call the former normal order of things. Now, with the big brutal bill and this two administrations under Trump, both the 2017 tax giveaway welfare for the wealthy plan and now doubling down on more welfare for the wealthiest among us in the big brutal bill, taxes maybe in New Jersey starting to break for Democrats, because at the root of this problem is this, again, Gilded Age return to basically treating people as simply labor widgets and preferencing the wealthy in every conceivable public policy, but certainly starting and most importantly in many respects with taxes, Jim. Very fascinating.
It is. It'll be fascinating to take more of those exit polls. Obviously, as you've said, as everybody says, all politics is local. You'd like to think the voters know about who they're voting for. But there may be a larger message here, Maggie, as you're suggesting, which is, even if you haven't understood all the things that have been going on, you have a sense that there is something fundamentally wrong with America these days.
Yes.
And maybe you got up this morning and said, you know what, I'm going to go to vote because I need to address that. And whether it's something particular or something larger, this could very well be interpreted as the first of what probably will be many anti-Trump votes and about cosmic issues beyond just the local politics.
The meta point, like rich people don't need more riches. And again, I'm not talking about people who save their entire lives to have enough money to live in retirement and dignity or help their kids pay for college or help them buy their first home. I'm not talking about small business owners, folks. These aren't the only monolith to me is the top 1%. Yep, I'm going to talk about the top 1% with sweeping generalizations. And I've made the point previously, I think I did this, in fact, yesterday, Jim, that the only lazy people I have ever come across in my entire life are like second, third, or fourth generation trust fund babies that really don't have any need to work because their family has created and amassed wealth at a scale that basically allows them to be people of leisure. It's called leisure when you're a rich person doing it. It's called lazy if you have a small amount in your checking account. And that entire rubric is fundamentally flawed. I think we're seeing Americans react to that. More reporting in Virginia from CNN, the economy, the number one issue, according to reporting by CNN for voters in Virginia. Again, they've got the AG's race there, their gubernatorial issue. This is going to be an interesting election to watch spin out. Now, as we talk about these core economic issues, why do we have a president that does favors for his billionaire buddies like CZ, who are fraudsters? Why is he pardoning one of the greatest liars in congressional history, George Santos? Why does he pardon people that beat cops? Again, magical thinking, Mike Johnson was asked a question about the grotesquerie of Donald Trump's Great Gatsby party as Americans were on the brink of going hungry yesterday. And I don't really know. Let me deflect. Take a listen to this. Here's Mike Johnson not dealing with the fact that you could objectively say it's probably not a good look for the president to be celebrating the Gilded Age and class-based society in an homage to the American novel that explored those issues. Take a listen to this cut.
You talk about the split screen between what the Democrats are doing and what the Republicans are doing. What about the split screen about the fact that the Trump administration is administering only part of the SNAP program while President Trump is having a Gatsby party at Mar-a-Lago?
I reject the premise of the question. Let me talk about SNAP. Okay.
Okay, no, Mike, you're done. No, if you want to, if he wants to make optical arguments, then deal with that optics. I reject the premise of the question. I am a puppet for the president. I am magical thinking Mike Jackal Johnson. It's so weird.
It is. And again, reject all you want, Mike, but the reality is there is a split screen here that is undeniable. Not that he would ever say it, Maggie, but geez, some candor at some point from our speaker who can simply say, you know what? I am concerned about people in America who are not getting fed today. And as I looked at those images from Mar-a-Lago, that plainly was, say something like that. That was plainly not the same population. Say something to acknowledge the bifurcation of America.
Yes. So maybe I'm going to have two tickers going. 288 days, two dates. For any hardcore MAGA supporter that has called me or texted me before on the show to point out one thing that Donald Trump has done wrong, and 288 days into this administration, and Mike Johnson has yet to find his spine. That is going to be the tickers. We can do them on both, axes. I just wanted to play two sounds, then we're going to go to the phones. We got John from Milwaukee, Jack from Merrimack. You can join Jim and I, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. 75 Civic. This is Lindsey Graham saying the quiet part out loud about what the MAGA party is all about these days. Take a listen.
He recognized Jerusalem as capital of Israel. Why? Because if you got a problem with that, take it up with God. He's the guy that did it, not Trump. So I just want to say I feel good about the Republican Party. I feel good about where we're going as a nation. We're killing all the right people, and we're cutting your taxes.
Wrap that sound, please. I think that should be just run that on loop. We're killing all the right people.
Right, right.
As war is a terrible, awful thing that should not be celebrated with hoots and hollers. It is despicable and anathema to America's most closely held values. And then there was this senator talking about the fact that America is for white people. Take a listen.
Soldiers dying of frostbite at Valley Forge. The pilgrims struggling to survive in the hard winter soil of Plymouth. The pioneers striking out from Missouri for the wild and dangerous frontier. The outnumbered Kentucky settlers repelling wave after wave of Indian war band attacks from beyond the stockade walls. All of them will be astonished to hear that they were only fighting for a proposition. They believe they were fighting for a nation, a homeland for themselves and their descendants. They fought, they bled, they struggled, they died for us. They built this country for us. America, in all its glory, is their gift to us, handed down across the generations. It belongs to us. It's our birthright, it's our heritage, our destiny. If America is everything and everyone, then it is nothing and no one at all.
Wrap that, please. I don't even know what to say in response to that. America cannot stand for a proposition. It was for themselves, for their descendants, for us, it is our birthright. Here's another quote from another speech. The clear goal of our struggle is the preservation of this nation and this soil, the preservation of these people for the future, in the realization that this alone can constitute our reason for being. It is not for ideas, you know, like a proposition, that we live. It is not for theories or fantastic party programs. No, we live and fight for this nation and its people, for the preservation of our existence, that it may undertake its own struggle for existence. And only then we are thereby convinced that we make our contribution to what everyone else so gladly places in the foreground, world peace. That is Adolf Hitler in his first speech as the Chancellor of Germany on February 10th, 1933, at its mine for clarity.
And admitting in all of that, especially the first quote, first extended comment, there's a part of American history that should include everyone, right? People of colors, people of religions, people of abilities and disabilities, orientations, all kinds of things, immutable characteristics completely run roughshod over by that kind of an incorporation, that articulation of what America is all about. Just the opposite. Just the opposite is the truth.
It's, to me, that is a sitting U.S. senator basically saying America's for white people. Mm-hmm. And that's, by the way, what happens when you conflate wokeness with exclusion. What Senator Schmidt is doing is exclusion. What anybody that wants to talk about diversity and equity and inclusion is talking about is the full history of America, which understands that there were complex moments, that our present promise is partially because of our past failures, that we must learn from them or be doomed to repeat them, which Senator Schmidt seems surely hell-bent on recreating. John from Milwaukee, say hello to Jim Santel. What you got for us?
Hey, John.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
I called it. You mentioned just something briefly about taxes and
yes,
or the 1%. And I think the Democrats have to do a couple of things. First is they have to tell us what they stand for. What are they going to fight for as we elect them? And I'm a strong Democratic voter. But in addition to that, just an example would be to redo our whole tax structure.
Yeah.
Bring it back something close to the 50s or 60s, where the well-off, you know, the top 10% have a 50% tax upon their earnings. We're not talking about taking any of their wealth that they've already accumulated. We're talking about going forward. There's an organization called the Patriotic Millionaires that are advocating no tax on the first $45,000 you earn. Imagine what that would do to the American workers, having no tax and not having to worry about that come April 15th.
Yeah.
In addition to having for those people a no tax, you have a situation, let's say if you're making $80,000, you're only going to get taxed on the $35,000 beyond the $45,000. It's going to be affordable for the American families, the American workers. And we've got to be thinking about different ways to approach this. Right now, it's all slanted towards the ultra-elite, wealthy people. And, you know, they've had good concepts. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, John.
We've tilted this pay system or earning system so far to the extreme of the 1% and the 10%. Think about what we would face if we put this out as a platform, just one part of the platform. We would have all of the wealthy coming and saying that the world is going to end. Well, there's no.
And it won't. It didn't end in the 50s and the 60s. It wouldn't end now. John, if you like Patriotic Millionaires, I got a whole set of probably 100-plus shows, segments called Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. It's all with Patriotic Millionaires-based experts. We can start by taxing wealth at the same proportion that we tax work. We'll come back with Jim Santel and more right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Jack is up next. Charles after Jack, and you give us a call or text 855-75-CIVIC.